First Baptist Church of Redmond, October 31st, 2021, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Young at Heart.
Please rise. Join me in reading Ecclesiastes 11:9. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. You may be seated.
Thank you. My sermon is Young at Heart. Young at Heart. Do you know what she's getting ready to do? Have plastic surgery. According to the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, surgeons perform more than 10 million cosmetic procedures each year. Wow! Almost none of them medically necessary. Journalist Beth Tittell worries that all that plastic surgery, not because it's unsafe or unwise, but because it'll make her look older than women her own age. In a book called Drinking Problems and the Fountain of Youth, good title, Tittell comments that no one is safe from this fear, not even the rich. She says, I know women who worked hard to get into good colleges, worked for their connections to land enviable jobs, married well, produced children who could pose for Ralph Lauren ads, vacation on the right islands with the right beach towels and the right heiresses. They have fractional ownerships in Cessnas, for heaven's sake, that's a plane. And yet, if they have furrows and hints of upper lip lines and puppet mouth when those around them are smoother than freshly ironed linens, what's it all worth? In a word, nothing. The light is pleasant and is good for the eyes to see the sun. Solomon is calling us to live wisely. The first call is to rejoice in the goodness of life, even though we know life is futility. I'm going to give you a word of advice. I prayed for it today, this morning, and I've come to pray that my friends, people in general, will have a little bit of fun every day. It's important to have a little bit of fun every day, even if it's only a Diet Coke, even only it's raspberry tea, even only if it's not choking on your medicine. You should have a little bit of fun every day. It's so important. The call is especially for old people, people who have lived many years. It is good to find the joy and pleasures of life that you can. Many things in life are also bright. What a joy it is, therefore, to live for many years, not only because we have more time to serve the Lord in sowing and reaping, see Ecclesiastes earlier in the chapter, but also because we have more opportunity to enjoy the goodness of life. The right way to respond is by rejoicing. Praise God for the goodness of life. Praise Him for everything sweet you taste and everything bright you see. We celebrated Brittany's birthday recently, and Barbara let me cheat and have a snack. Do you remember?
Yeah.
What was it?
S'more.
a s'more. And wow, I haven't had a s'more forever. But I can see why you eat them. Yum. I rejoiced in the fact that is calculated to be only 30 carbohydrates. I didn't eat a full-size s'more, but wow. The living God is the God of light. Indeed, if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him also remember the days of darkness, for there may be will be filled many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Horace said, "Carpe diem, rejoice while you are alive. Enjoy the day. Live life to the fullest. Make the most of what you have. It is later than you think." Yet even when we rejoice, we need to remember that there is more to life than sweetness and light, which is something that Solomon never lets us forget. If we live for many years, he says, the days of darkness will be many, and we will taste what is bitter in life as well as what is sweet. And I'll tell you, foreshadowing, I have a closing illustration that talks about a Starbucks restaurant in an unusual place, okay? Sooner or later, we will suffer loss, disappointment, injustice, and grief. I didn't read the verse. Indeed, if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. All, including the years when we are old and gray, is futility. At the beginning of Ecclesiastes, we are told that all is futility. If life has no unmitigated joys or undiminished pleasures, then why should our later years be any different? Some commentators think Solomon is confused here, that is, he is giving contradictory advice, that his readers should both enjoy life, but also remember that he is going to die. This is not confusion, but clarity. Ecclesiastes gives us a realistic view of life that is joyful about its happy pleasures, while at the same time sober about its many sorrows. This book steadfastly refuses to show us anything less than the whole of life as it actually is. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. As I think about different years, you need to know the class of 2011. Not 2021, but 2011. As expected, the list finds that this fall's freshman class, the freshman of college in 2011, is unique in how they see the world, hear the world, speak in the world, and experience the world. Ron Neff, the communications director for Beloit College, says faculty members, military officers, and ministers eagerly wait for this list, hoping to find effective ways to communicate with younger generations. Here are some notable features that changed in 2011. One, Humvees, minus the artillery, have always been available to the public. If you're 18 years old in 2011, you've always been able to buy a Humvee. They've never had to roll down a car window. Yes? They've grown up with bottled water as the most common way to get water. The World Wide Web has been an online tool since they were born. They were born the year Harvard Law Review editor Barack Obama announced that he might run for office someday. Russia has always had a multi-party political system, and they've never seen the Berlin Wall. They learned about JFK from Oliver Stone and Malcolm X from Spike Lee. Tiananmen Square as a 2008 Olympic view, not the scene of a massacre. They get much more information from Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert than from the newspaper. I'm a newspaper guy. They will encounter roughly equal numbers of female and male professors in their classroom. Rap music has always been mainstream. U2 has always been more than a spy plane. Ha ha ha. They were introduced to Jack Nicholson as the Joker, thanks to MySpace and Facebook. Do you remember MySpace? No. A person's autobiography could happen in real time. Stadiums, rock tours, and sporting events have always had corporate names. And Fox has always been a major network. Wow. Happiness is not confined to one season of life. It should fill all your years, young or old. The call to rejoice is not just for the elderly, but also for youngsters. While old people are to praise God for the length of their days, young people are to praise God for the strength of their youth. Young people enjoy many blessings. They have fewer of the cares that come with having adult responsibilities. Their bodies are strong and getting stronger. Their hearts are full of good cheer and easy laughter. The future is full of possibilities. There is freedom to take risks and time to go a new direction in life. Young people still dare to dream that they can make a difference in the world. These are all reasons for the young to rejoice. And yet again, Solomon sounds a cautionary note. What he says about following one's heart might lead some people to think they can do it whatever they please, which frankly is the way that many young people operate. They expect everyone to operate on their schedule. Living for the moment, they do not stop to think about the consequences of their actions. They buy an impulse. Rather than cleaning up after themselves, they tend to leave a mess behind. So, remove sorrow from your heart and keep pain away from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. I have learned many lessons, and that lesson is true to me, because I sound like my father when I wake up from bed. My father used to make different characteristic sounds whenever he woke up, and I make them and more. With these words, Solomon advises us to eliminate the bad things in life that troubles our body and our souls. Sorrow, the word sorrow, is any problem that causes us worry and concern that, quote, angers, grieves, or irritates us, unquote. It is the bitterness provoked by a hard and disappointing world. There is a little point in listing examples. With so much trouble in the world, it would be hard to know where to start or how to end. Yes? Yes. Furthermore, the sorrow is different for each one of us. What angers or irritates one person may not anger or irritate someone else. Yet, we can all agree that life is filled with sorrow. It is also full of physical pain. Whether for illness, accident, or disability, we all suffer bodily pains. Once again, Solomon is honest with the troubles of life, both physical and psychological. He has some advice for us. We should do what we can to remove discouragement from our bodies and to minimize damage to our souls. This is not a call to deny the very real suffering that everyone experiences, nor is it a call to escape pain by living for pleasure. Rather, it is a call to take care of your mental and physical health. Yes? It's obvious what some people need to do. But we've got many years of not listening to overcome. Those of us who have wives should listen to our wives. Yes? I don't hear much agreement. Trust me, you should listen to your wife. If you don't have a wife, I hope you have a mother. And your mother will tell you things in passing that she really means. And something like, are you eating well? Do you eat too much? Do you get enough sleep? Are you still stressed? Because you should pay attention to your mother's and your wife's gentle words. One of the reasons why Solomon tells us to remove pain and vexation is because he knows we cannot stay young forever. Did you know that? Yes, and I'm 61 now, and I've had two strokes in the past year, and trust me, I know I'm not young anymore. And I can tell it because I can't eat like I want to. This does not mean that youth is meaningless. Solomon has already told us to rejoice in our youth and to enjoy its many pleasures. But youth is futile. The word in the original, hebel, means futile, vanity, in the sense that it is elusive. One day we are young and strong, but almost before we know it, those days are gone. They snuck up on me for sure. Thus, Solomon advises
season of life. We should celebrate its lessons for us. What hinders your pursuit of happiness? Is it self-appointed excuses that keep us from daily joy? I'm going to tell you something. Most people, I have been told, make excuses for everything. You make excuses for overeating. You make excuses for being sloppy. You make excuses for not picking up after yourself. And millennials get too much blame for it. I think we all make excuses for what we don't want to do. We need to stop. Or is it self-styled independence that keeps us from remembering our Creator? And that's next week's message. I told you that I would have a story about my closing illustration. Oops. Okay. Built in 1950, Robinson Downtown was the first Robinson funeral home to serve the upstate community. It's talking about South Carolina. This Robinson location is centrally located in downtown Easterly and 10 minutes from. Find my paper. Forgive me. Hooray, I flipped too much paper. And 10 minutes from the Robertson Memorial Gardens. The downtown location is famous, versatile, and well equipped to meet the needs of our families we serve. If you haven't noticed, Robinson Downtown is a funeral home. It's a funeral home, and our features include a covered porch and an expansive foyer, private arrangement offices, and showrooms featuring a variety of caskets and cremation options. We also offer state-of-the-art video equipment, so that families can record funerals and play the video during a loved one's service. An on-site coffee shop. They even opened a Starbucks. An on-site coffee shop is available for the guests' comfort and convenience. It offered a coffee corner, as it was called. It's stocked with Starbucks coffee and offers Wi-Fi, as well as you can see the fireplace and television. The funeral home's owner says that he hopes it will get mourners to get their right minds off of what's going on. The news magazine called The Week welcomed people to submit a name for the cafe. They thought it was funny, and to be honest, I think it's funny. I would never go to a Starbucks in a funeral home, yes? I don't think they have a drive-thru. They didn't say it, and it would be odd to have a hearse pulling up to a Starbucks. There were names submitted for this novel cafe. The honorable mention name included, one, the Grim Roaster. You can take it with you. The Last Cup. Decaffeinated. Purgatory. Wake up and smell the coffee. Being nice knowing you. And CLA title. The top winners. Third place. Latte for your own funeral. Second place. Still above Brown's Cafe. I think that's favorite. And the first place award. Time to meet your mocha. Puns after my own heart. It's poking fun, and it's not the real name. It was just a suggestion. But it's trying to have fun. And I can appreciate having fun because Solomon has told us that we should rejoice all the time. We should rejoice in our youth. We should rejoice. They never said to rejoice in middle age. But we should rejoice in our older age as well. We always have time. The lesson is we always have time to praise God for the comforts He gives. Whether you're stuck having gas station coffee, or you can go to your local funeral home and have a Starbucks, you should rejoice in that you can. You're not dead yet. And since you're not dead yet, you could find a reason to be thankful and give praise. Amen?
Amen.